I did not start. I did not summon you guys in here like having already developed the mindset to record, because I just realized I was getting sidetracked talking, like DMing with Athena and Matt, and then and I was just like, no, I have to read. I said I was going to read today, so that. We were talking in Flowerpot earlier about how fucking shitty Canon Snape is, and like I mentioned that it's a product of Canon Snape being irredeemably shitty in every fucking regard, means that I always have my eye on Snape in fix, because just about any halfway decent author could do something way better with Snape and more interesting than what Rowling eventually did with him. And so it's always nice to see how people fix Snape in a way that isn't just, oh, I'm a fucking incel, you know, I never got over a fucking high school crush, you know, that I said the N-word to, you know, like it's very easy to tweak Snape and have him be a lot of fun, because Snape in books 1 through 3 is a really fun character. It's like, yeah, he's just a piece of fucking shit, horrible, mean teacher, and it's like that's like he's just a messy drama bitch, and it's great. You know, he's great. He's so much fun in the first three books. So. Let's fly over the owlery, shall we? Owlery. Well, if it's Deaf Grump, then who's not so grump? Let's see what we got. Okay, here we go. Oh, I will mention as well, I was editing chapter 14 last night, and the interaction between Harry and Fleur during the first task is fucking great. It's really, really good. I'm not talking about, like, my recording of it. I mean, I'm proud of it, but, like, the writing is so fucking good there. You can cut the tension with a knife, and it's this childish fucking, like, you know, it is this high school drama bullshit, and it's done so well. Let's read a fan fiction. You fucker! Is that you having genuinely not heard who I was talking about? Or is that you going, "Mwah?" Because that is the kind of shit you would do. All right, here we go. Oh, what the fuck chapter is this? I could not possibly prefer more when dudes put their chapter numbers in the body of the text of the chapter, but at least in this case there's no like chapter number fuckery with like, oh, there's a prologue, or oh, there's this or that. It is just at least whatever it says in the drop down on FFnet is the actual chapter number. Ubiquitously verbose, aka UB40. That's what I'm gonna call you now. The what was in there for you? Like, if you skipped all the parts with Snape, like what was there in the fic for you? UB40 with red wine. Up next on 106.7, the Eagle, Waco's only classic rock station. Oh, that's what you meant by not on VC. Okay, no, never mind. All right, okay, I'm gonna do my job. Okay. Chapter 16. One flew over the Owlery. Hate that word. That's such an awkward word. Like, not that it's the wrong word to use. It's just it's an awkward fucking word. Condensation blurred the gray sky through the window. It trickled down the glass over the white-painted windowsill, then dripped down onto the blue carpet. The cold seeped in from outside like the condensation through the carpet. I'm not sure that I know what that sentence means. Sorry, what'd you say? I didn't hear what you said. Let me say this again. Oh, what? I did have a genuine question though. What is the cold seeped in from outside like the condensation through the carpet? I don't understand what that means. Okay. Would you like to change it? Okay. Oh, okay. Now to no, we very commonly do, Athena. And to reiterate, when I am recording and someone says something on the voice thing, my headphones are off. I will hear that someone has spoken. But if you intend to convey information, just get my attention and then wait a second and then I'll say I have the headphones on, and then I'll actually hear what you said. A trick that I use, well, not a trick really, but I don't monitor myself when I record, which helps with it helps with crazy it helps with sounding natural, because if you're not hearing yourself speak. The cold seeped in from outside like the darkness of her soul. No, let me see. I mean, if it was me doing it, I would just say, then drips down onto the blue carpet, comma, oh wait, hang on, I had it and I lost it. Oh right, like, as the cold seeped in from outside. Like that's probably what I would say. Okay, if we want a metaphor, if we want to be purple about it, then drip down onto the blue carpet, something like, the first scouts in an invading army of cold or something. I don't know. I'm not a fucking writer. Yeah, the carpet. The carpet repetition is what gave me pause. I was like, there's no way he wants that. I cannot hear you. I don't know. I can see that you're talking, but I cannot hear you. Like, my headphones are on. Like, he hate that ignore me. He's just wanted to fix the grammar. Someone paste the full first paragraph into the text so people have the proper context. Or you could even go, then drips down onto the blue carpet. Fleur's mood threatens to do the same, and then just open the next paragraph with she swallowed her muck instead of Fleur. The cold seeped in from outside, creeping through the panes like dusk shadows from the dark pines at Castle's Edge. Yeah, there we go. Fleur swirled her mug and cast another warming charm. Steam rose from the damp patch beneath the window. The more they don't still have, the more satisfying it'll be to get it. She dropped another sugar cube into her hot chocolate and watched it melt away. And I will win. And I will win.
A heavy hand pounded at her door. Fleur grimaced, tossed her blanket onto the bed, and picked her wand up.
Who is it?
I would like to discuss the first task with you, Fleur. Madame Maxime's low voice echoed through the door. Fleur pulled the door open.
You were not happy with my performance?
You performed perfectly. You performed perfectly, as always.
Madame Maxime's broad face shifted into a smile, then slipped back to a mild frown.
I would like to discuss the other champions and their methods. As you didn't get to observe them firsthand, I thought you might find it useful.
Fleur nodded and leant on the edge of the door.
It sounds like a good idea, madame. I would very much like to know how the boy evaded that feral monster of a dragon. I would very much like to know how the boy evaded that feral monster of a dragon.
There we go.
What happened? It's you, Matt, I think. Because earlier I saw you talking and couldn't hear you. Anyway. God, I'm 17 minutes into this fucking recording. Okay, no more guff. He said,
Madame Maxime eased the door open with one finger. Fleur stumbled back, then settled back into her seat, sipping the warm, rich sweetness of her hot chocolate as Madame Maxime squeezed herself into the other small chair.
The Old World's champion, Cedric Diggory, was the first to compete, Madame Maxime.
Said Madame Maxime.
His plan was commendable, but not carried out effectively. However, he displayed some advanced transfiguration, and it would be wise to assume he is equally proficient in other subjects.
Exceptional student, but no more than that.
Why did I do Harry's voice?
An exceptional student, but no more than that. Fleur took another sip of her hot chocolate. One of those boys born into a good family, with good looks and good brains, but no friction to give him the drive to win.
I do not think that the Hogwarts champion will be your main source of competition,
Madame Maxime said. Fleur nodded and sipped her drink.
I agree.
Victor Crumb, too, displayed some proficiency.
Fleur suppressed the urge to roll her eyes and took another drink of hot chocolate.
Of course the boy will be last. Even when he is not here, he finds some way to be annoying.
Crumb used the conjunctivitis curse to blind his dragon. His casting was very swift and accurate, but his plan did not account for the damage the injured dragon... Nah. But his plan did not account for the damage his injured... But his plan did not account for the damage the injured dragon would do. Durmstrang's champion is clearly a powerful and... Durmstrang's champion is clearly a powerful and accurate spellcaster, but lacks foresight. He is a dueler and a flyer. Not a planner. But he would prove a strong rival in any task Karkaroff can help with the planning.
Fleur put her mug down and leant forward.
And Harry Potter?
Was too eager.
And Harry Potter?
Madame Maxime smiled.
He cheated. He took the model dragon and used a very powerful enlarging charm. The horntail fought the model, and while it was distracted, Mr. Potter used the rupturing curse to blind the dragon on his side. The model, for all its enchantments, was only plastic and didn't last long. But the boy stole the egg in the gap.
An enlarging charm? Fleur frowned. That was not a thought. Madame Maxime tapped her fingers on the table.
Disappointed by his simple solution?
Fleur swirled the hot chocolate in the mug.
No. It works, it works. No. If it works, it works. Jealous, then? Madame Maxime asked. It was a good solution, but only for the suggestion.
No, that's not her.
It was a good solution, but only for this exact situation. I doubt he is capable of creating the enchantments that were already on the model like I can. But even if he were, almost any magic would be able to defeat such a creation. It is impossible to create something capable of... It is impossible to create something capable of using magic as a wizard or witch does.
Nope.
It is impossible to create something capable of using magic as a witch or wizard does. You must look deeper than his solution.
Madame Maxime tuttered and pushed Fleur's mug to the side of the table.
The scale of the enlarging charm indicated surprising magical power for a 14-year-old, equal or better than any other champion, including yourself. His knowledge and the use of a curse considered dark is also very interesting. Albus Dumbledore will not consent to it being taught here, so he must have another source of counsel. And at the end... When the dragon had him cornered, he stepped out to face it head-on with no fear I could see.
So he really wasn't afraid.
Why keep doing that?
So he really wasn't afraid.
Fleur studied the polished rosewood of her wand.
Interesting. Interesting. I thought he was just trying to impress me. You're impressed with him, she said.
What now?
You're impressed with him, she said. Indeed I am. Indeed I am.
Madame Maxime placed her palms flat on the table. The chair groaned beneath her as she leant forward.
There is something different about him. I'm sure you noticed it in your observation of your rivals. So she knows about that too.
Fleur met Madame Maxime's dark brown eyes, then glanced at her hot chocolate.
Perhaps she's just guessed from my absences and my knowledge of the disillusionment charm.
I might have, she said.
He does not react to the allure in your magic, does he? He does not react to the allure in your magic, does he?
Fleur scowled.
No. He didn't even notice me until the first task. Madame Maxime smiled. I thought so. He is most curious. Openly using a curse such as the rapturing curse. Brazenly cheating. And most of all, at the end for an instant, I thought I sensed a spell.
Fleur's lips twitched. If only I could have watched.
I would have been able to sense much more than you, despite your heritage.
What kind of spell? She asked. What did it feel like?
It was just a feeling. It was just a feeling,
Madame Maxime said.
Like a fingertip sliding down my spine. I only felt it for a moment.
But if you felt it... Madame Maxime's eyes narrowed a fraction.
I may not be gifted with the deftness of your family, Fleur. But I didn't need it to sense that magic. If the old tale had not been stunned by its annals, I think we might have seen something spectacular.
Fleur dragged her hot chocolate back over and took another sip.
Cold. Cold.
She tapped the mug with her wand until spirals of steam rose from the dark liquid.
Hospital. He is not to be underestimated, Madame Maxime said. You cannot beguile him with the allure of your magic without capturing every eye in the room. He appears to be much more powerful than we suspected, and he knows and has used at least morally questionable curses.
I will not. I have met many boys who can resist my magic to begin with. They crumble when I actually exert some focus or intent upon them. All I need is a moment in the tournament when nobody can see.
It's not cheating.
Fleur's stomach knotted itself tight.
But it's not how I want to win, either. I won't and shouldn't have to do that. Perhaps,
Madame Maxime said.
I must insist you be wary of him all the same, though. He has cheated already. He might do so again in a less benign fashion. It was his breaking of the rules alone that cost him the points that would have placed him in first. If he'd had the presence of mind to summon the boy from the tent, boy. If he'd had the presence of mind to summon the toy from the tent, you'd be second.
What? Fleur stared into Madame Maxime's eyes, but found no hint of a lie.
She's not trying to motivate me. She genuinely thinks that.
Fleur swallowed down a bitter taste and a flare of heat. Feathers prickled beneath her skin.
I got beaten by a 14-year-old. Unacceptable. I do not know the mind of the boy at all well.
Madame Maxime squeezed out of her chair and stepped to the door in a single stride.
But he has unsettled even Albus Dumbledore.
He looked as proud as he did concerned. Fleur closed the door behind Madame Maxime.
Still, in essence, he won. And it would be silly to assume he'll make another small mistake again.
She gulped down the last of her hot chocolate.
He will be as much a rival as Crumb, only he has the advantage of no expectation. Dumbledore must have put him in the tournament.
Fleur tapped her mug with her wand and set the clean china piece down on the bedside table next to a... Fleur tapped her mug with her wand and set... Fleur tapped her mug with her wand and set the clean china piece down on the bedside table next to a slim envelope.
A good way to help him grow. People hurt him. People hurt him. But like me, he'll get stronger. He'll get stronger because of it.
She snatched the letter to Gabrielle off her bedside table. She snatched the letter to Gabrielle off her bedside table and tucked it down the front of her blue robes. Casting the disillusionment charm, she snuck out of the carriage, slipping between Caroline and slipping between Caroline and Emily when they opened the door. Fleur trudged to the top of a gray, dreary tower that rang with the hoots it. Fleur trudged to the top of a gray, dreary tower that rang with the hoots and screeches of owls. A room of thick wooden beams and worn perches waited beyond a small, battered old door. Sour bird droppings and dry must hung like smoke.
Someone has highlighted me? Oh, it's in a different server.
Bobaton's bell cage is far more elegant than this dusty old attic. Bobaton's bell cage is far more elegant than this Bobaton's bell cage is far more elegant than this dusty old attic. She sniffed and tiptoed into the center of the room. But at least there's nobody here. But at least there's nobody to ask me to be their Yule Ball date up here.
That is a very good disillusionment charm.
No, sorry.
That is a very good disillusionment charm. A half-familiar voice echoed from the door, carrying with it a hint of admiration and carrying with it a hint of admiration and amusement.
Melt, of course. He notices me when I am invisible. What a vexing boy.
Fleur dispelled the charm.
Merci, how did you notice?
Miss Delacour. His eyes flicked past her to the owls. I'm aware of the weaknesses of the charm and thus capable of recognizing it. Fleur's gaze dipped to his empty hands.
What are you doing up here?
Harry Potter raised his eyebrows and glanced around the room. Sending a letter, as I assume you are, since this isn't the most scenic part of the castle.
No, I'm not. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not. Fleur sighed. I have no owl. I have no owl. I have no owl. I have no owl.
His brow creased. Perhaps I could offer you the use of my owl. Fleur wrestled with her pride.
Didn't you just send a letter? Didn't you just send a letter? Didn't you just send a letter?
I was sending a letter to my godfather. For one reason or another, I've not been able to contact him until now. But he sent his own owl, and I returned my letter with it.
Now, that was... that was, That was Void's Harry. That was not your Harry.
I was sending a letter to my godfather. For one reason or another, I've not been able to contact him until now, but he sent his own owl, and I returned my letter with it.
I didn't realize you had... I didn't realize you had... I didn't realize you had the gold for there. I didn't realize you had the gold for there. Not many do. Not many do. He edged past her, leaving an arms. He edged past her, leaving an arm's length between them. Dust covered the back of his robes as they brushed against the beams. That was nice of him.
Oh, no.
That was nice of him. Most men take any chance they can. Most men take any chance to brush against me.
Fleur pulled her wand out of her sleeve and vanished the dust.
There, now we're even. Thanks, Harry Potter said.
A beautiful, black-speckled, snowy owl perched by the window in the far side of the town. A beautiful, black-speckled, snowy owl perched by the window in the far side of the tower top. It shot Harry a full glare, then... It shot Harry a full glare, then swiveled its head around to look in the other direction. He laughed.
Don't be like that, Hedwig. I was going to give you a letter to deliver on behalf of an acquaintance of mine.
An acquaintance? Fleur found the taste of the word bitter.
I suppose I am, but most boys would call me a friend to my face. Does he not care what I think at all? Did the senpai ever notice me?
Hedwig's head twisted back round, then she hooted and hopped closer to Harry, nibbling at his fingers. Harry Potter laughed.
I knew you wouldn't be able to resist.
He turns to Fleur and held out his hand.
Do you have the letter? She's a bit particular about who gives her the things she takes. Nearly took one of my friend's fingers a year ago.
One of the friends who turned their back on you? Fleur slipped her hand inside her uniform and pulled the warm envelope from under the strap of her bra.
Ooh. I hope he doesn't realize where I stashed it. Though if his past lack of attention is any indication, he might not even care. He might not even care.
Athena, you really, I know your friendships are always like leavened by the fact that, you know, you feel guilty for not reading people's shit if you haven't read their shit, but Matt's worth reading. I gotta tell you, I know you already are reading him, but it's like, man.
Harry pinched the uppermost corner between his... Harry pinched the uppermost corner between his thumb and forefinger and passed it to Hedwig.
He Here's a question. Why does he do that? Does, like, is he, like, wigged out by her body heat? Why does he, that's a weird thing for him to do. It's a wonderful power move, but, like, you know. Don't do that, Athena. Don't do that. I've seen that backfire. Sorry, go ahead, Matt. No, oh my God, there was a friend of mine who, hang on, I'm cutting the recording. I don't want this in the fucking recording. This will be great for the ramble editing when I mentioned that. Yeah. So no, but like, menstrual blood is like one of the most badass ritual components. It's got to be useful for something, right? Christ. Sure, why not? Why not, Rogue One? Why not? Fucking Vila Drary, fucking, yeah. Yeah, there are children present. There are children present. There are wee, tiny, tiny children. I was on a roll, too. I was on a fucking roll. Where are we at? Oh, yeah, no. Matt, I never actually asked fully. No. Why is Harry pinching this just a corner? What is the actual reason for that? Okay. This is... That's fine. That works. I'm going to say again that you really need to write like a drabble prologue to this, because I don't have that. Like, the reader doesn't have that context. Like, they know Harry stiffens up when he's hugged, but they don't know why, because that's not part of Harry's personality before now. I'm just saying, I would love to see like a montage prologue. Anyway, yeah, it's like he's certainly, you know, by this point in canon, he's been hugged by, like, you know, Ron and Hermione and Molly Weasley and, like, Ginny and fucking, you know, like, he's fine now. Well, yeah. No, of course not. Yeah, like the thing with the black ink on parchment thing. You're like, ah, that's an exercise he learned, you know. Sorry, I heard what you said, but I was briefly distracted by something that Athena knows about. But I did hear what you said. Okay. Am I recording again? I'm recording again. Okay, we're gonna start recording fan fiction again. Should I actually read it out loud? Should I legit read it out loud? Okay.
Dino put his feet up and chatted for a couple of minutes. Then he put down the phone and returned to the table.
Okay, he said. The ME confirms his first estimate of the time of the death. The girl had a tiny purse tucked into her vagina, just big enough to hold a driver's license, a credit card, and a few bucks. Her name is Elizabeth Sweeney.
That's what Athena just posted at me in DM. I don't know what it's from.
I'm assuming with a name like Dino, this is probably a fairly accurate voice for the character.
Okay. Because this is... No, you fucking... No, I can say the word vagina. Whatever. That's the whole thing where Team Four Star, and it's like, you know, caution, this may contain material not suitable for children. If you're under the age of 18 and haven't heard the word fuck before, well, you have now. Okay. This is a quote from Matthew James Potter Evans Ferris.
Teach vagina to 11-year-olds.
There we go. That's what he said in his words. That is a recording of him saying that. Okay. God, you can tell when the ramble starts and the not reading the... Okay. Harry did pinch the uppermost corner between his thumb and forefinger. Okay.
Harry pinched the uppermost corner between his thumb and forefinger and passed it to Hedwig. Fleur stared.
He's not disgusted by my body heat?
She stifled a laugh.
Yeah.
She stifled a laugh.
Forget about my magic's allure. If I want to beat him, perhaps I can just hug him. Gabrielle Delacour.
Harry Potter read off the envelope. It's a long way to Beauxbatons from here, Hedwig. You can find her?
No.
It's a long way to Beauxbatons from here, Hedwig. You can find her? The bird fluffed its feathers up and took off through the window. Harry Potter chuckled.
I shall take that as a yes.
He watched Hedwig soar away into the drizzle, then turns to Fleur with a frown. Then turns to Fleur with a wrinkled brow.
Your younger sister.
Yes,
yes. I often write to Gabrielle. She misses me when I'm away. And I miss her. Only a villa understands what it means to be a villa. Pimpin' ain't easy.
Academy and Victory tagline:
Pimping ain't easy.
It must be nice for her to hear from you, Harry Potter said.
I'm sure your family finds it equally nice to hear from you.
Harry Potter laughed. Fleur winced.
Melt, he's an orphan. I'm sorry.
Don't worry, half a smile crooked his lips. Actually almost refreshing to have somebody forget. I'll retake her thing. Mailed, he's an orphan. Yeah, because it's like, she already did know that. They stale. They stale. They stale.
Mm.
They stale, Fleur muttered. No. Fleur murmured. Fleur murmured. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. His green eyes froze hard and cold, then melted into a bright, brilliant smile.
I think the first take of yes, they do was probably better.
The same one they gave Rita Skeeter. Smiles are simple. Smiles are simple lies. Fleur's stomach twisted and writhed. Girls like Rita Skeeter deserve to be smiled to like that. Not me. I'm not like them. I'm not like the other girls. Madame Maxime told me about your task, she said. Harry Potter eyed the door behind her. More questions? Well, at least you're not... More questions? Well, at least you've not stolen my glasses this time. Fleur twitched. I'm afraid I don't understand. The corner of Harry's lips curved into this... The corner of Harry's lips curved into the same half-smile. No, that doesn't sound familiar. It must have been another French witch with an exceptional grasp of the... It must have been another French witch with an exceptional grasp of the disillusionment spell, too. It must have been another French witch with an exceptional grasp of the disillusionment spell, then. What did Madame Maxime say?
Oh, Matt, this is a reminder. You need to edit in to one of the earlier chapters some exposition that mentions the anti-levitation charm on the painting. And just let me know where that is and I'll put it in.
Fleur stepped across in front of the door. She said you cheated by bringing... She said you cheated by bringing the model dragon in, and that if you had summoned it, you might have got full marks. A spark of anger flickered in his eyes, then faded. I forgot about the one's only rule. How stupid of me. You still came second?
Amusement danced in his green eyes. Second is not first, is it?
No. No. You intend to try and win. You intend to try and win now.
Winning will prove to myself that I'm stronger than I used to be.
You've years to get stronger.
Fleur tried to see the child that ought to be standing in front of her.
Yet what else is there but winning when everyone turns against you?
When I win, I'll let you read my name off the Triwizard Cup. His green eyes were cold and sharp as the winter icicles that hung from her window. I guarantee it won't say my age. Harry Potter swept past her and down the steps.
That's a very good moment. That's a very good moment.
There'll be other chances. Blur listens to his footsteps echo down the tower.
Even if he doesn't feel the allure in my magic, I'm still the prettiest girl he's seen. He'll talk to me.
She recast her disillusionment spell and wandered round the Quidditch pitch's at.
She recast her disillusionment spell and wandered round the Quidditch pitch's edge.
Ludo Bagman sat in the bottom row of the stands Ludo Bagman sat in the bottom row of the stands beside a witch dressed in official ministry robes. A sharp glint lurked in the witch's eyes as they muttered together. Fleur gave the two of them a wide berth. A third person appeared from nowhere in front of her. She twisted round the rat-faced wizard and froze.
He cocked his head, sniffing the air, and his small, watery eyes darted all around.
His long fingernails curled from his tattered sleeves like claws. Fleur wrinkled her nose as the reek of stale food and dirt reached her.
Perhaps this is Argus Filch?
The infamous Squib caretaker? The wizard scuttled into the shadows of the red and gold painted section. Silence loomed in his absence. Every shadow held 100 dark creatures. The posts jutted into the sky like the spires of Nurmengard. And his eyes settled on her from the darkness beneath the pines at the pitch's edge.
What? Oh, just I? Oh, and... Ah, no, you're right. Yeah, I was confused. I was like, I thought he just went into the castle. Okay, here we go.
And I settled on her from the darkness beneath the pines at the pitch's edge. Fleur shivered and her heart picked up.
You want that to be heart rate? Up to you. I'm not actually certain whether heart's correct by itself. Yeah, that's. I don't think it doesn't work that way. Just making sure it isn't a typo.
Yeah. Fleur shivered and her heart picked up, hammering against her ribs.
Time to leave this place.
She didn't look back until she'd closed the door of Beaubeton's carriage behind her. End of chapter 16. End of chapter 16.